Hey, good morning. It's C-SPAN. Welcome to the weekly roundtable call, formerly the weekly Nantian call. And first thing I'm going to do is just do a quick disclaimer. I know a lot of the guys listen to these calls when they're running the kids to practice and that kind of stuff. This is an adult this is an adult man conversation, and so I'm going to give the disclaimer. Click over to another recording and listen to this one when you're in the car by yourself. So give you a second there. This is a adult conversation for men only. Go ahead and click over to something else if you got kids in the car. So on that point, let me introduce our high-impact man who's our speaker this week, F3 Agony. And here's a guy who's made a huge impact on a lot of men in F3. He's done a lot of research. He's a full-time preacher now, and I'm not going to give him any other rollout other than saying this guy is making a difference in men's lives. So, Agony, the floor is yours.
Hi, C-SPAN. Thank you. Hi, Bax. Brothers, good to be on here with you guys. Bottom line up front, my goal, I want to share my EH story and the research I did into F3 for my doctorate. Really, for us guys, it might be just kind of common sense for the packs, but it's really to encourage us to keep doing what we're doing. And ultimately, part of this, too, was a catalyst that got me to go run an ultramarathon last fall, probably one of the top three stupidest things I've done, but it was a good challenge that way. Because what I've discovered is that we as men, we need to embrace physical challenges because that will create in us a confidence and a resiliency to face the other challenges we'll inevitably have. So that's a bluff. Let's dig into it. So my name's Agony, not for any religious reasons or workout cred, but it's because they discovered that I have triplet boys nicknamed Misery, Torment, and Trouble. And so for me, F3 came into play at the perfect time in my life. 2 weeks prior to my EH, I had completed a marathon, but it was the first time I ever had to walk myself across the finish line of a marathon. So I was in good enough shape, but just kind of languished there, had sort of kind of plateaued physically. I had a good career going on. I was a young executive pastor at a large ladder climbing church. Sort of my life trajectory was heading in a good direction. And I say also, if I ever, the triplets were out of diapers finally. If I ever got a tattoo, I probably would get 33 tattooed on my shoulder, because that's how many diapers I had to change the first week the triplets were born. And so life was kind of becoming stable and smooth for me. And that's when I got a phone call from a church member. This guy called me out of the blue, said, "Hey, pastor, I got to meet with you this week. You got time?" And as a pastor, anytime somebody does that, you suddenly put on your kind of spider senses. And so I'm sitting there with this guy trying to figure out what's going on in his life. We're sitting there for an hour just kind of BSing. How his marriage is doing, how his job, how his family, what's going on. Can't really get below the surface with him. When all of a sudden at the end of it, he looks at me and says, "Oh, by the way, I'm part of this thing called F3, Fitness, Fellowship, and Faith." And I realized for me, those are my three kind of favorite things in the world. So once he started telling me about us and what you guys were up to, the next morning I was out there at Bandit over in Freedom Park, 5:30 in the morning, just working out. And I discovered as I jumped in with the packs and with you guys that really I was a sad clown. Quite frankly, probably the saddest of sad clowns. Though I was a pastor standing up preaching, praying on Sunday, I was known to print out the prayer from last week. And if we were praying for the earthquake in Haiti, I was scratching that out to pray for the tsunami in Japan and just kind of going through the motions of it. But getting out there with you guys and just being around men, the encouragement and just that came along. In fact, 6 months into the being with there, a young guy came up to me after a workout and was like, "You're a pastor here in town? My pastor would never be out here doing this with me. You're not a pastor. You're just one of us." And then he just started to kind of unload the crap he was dealing with. And so for me, being out with F3 just changed everything. It changed my life, ministry, family. I left that ladder climbing church to go start a new church from scratch. And so I was also going through a graduate program at the time. And so for my research, I wanted to see if impact F3 had a similar impact into other guys' lives. And so I began research into masculinity and F3 and what makes F3 men unique in particular. About 100 of you guys took some online studies and personality tests for me as little guinea pigs. And so I wanted to unpack a little bit of what I discovered as I was digging into this. First, my big aha was this idea, it's called precarious masculinity, that for manhood, us men, masculinity is always precarious. It's always under threat, meaning in that sort of sense, manhood has to be earned. We have to demonstrate it. It's not something bestowed upon us. Femininity is more biological and more happens and is something that's bestowed. But manhood, we have to go through these rituals and rites to earn it and publicly display it. And so it's constantly under threat in that sort of way. The best research study I came across I loved was imagine taking like two guys, myself and C-SPAN. Pretend both of us go into a researcher's office and the researcher comes to me, tells me, gives me some rope and tells me I'm braiding this rope to hook a battleship to the dock. And so I need to braid this rope really tight for that. And they take C-SPAN over and same sort of concept, but they tell him he's braiding a mannequin's hair and gives him a brush. So it gives him a girly activity in that sort of sense. When both of us leave that researcher's to the next experiment, C-SPAN is more likely to be more aggressive, punching a punching bag or kind of gambling more aggressively. That when we come under threat as men, when we face sort of that feminine task, we're going to respond in one of two ways. That either we become sad clowns, we passively disengage the guys who wouldn't actually braid the hair or go forward with it, or we become what's called an asshole, where we become aggressive and try to overcompensate in that sort of sense. And so, again, punch the punching bag more aggressively. We gamble more aggressively. And so as men, we will constantly face these challenges, these threats in our lives. And there's two ways we respond to it. We either become sad clowns and disengage, or we become assholes who try to use force and entitlement and power to get what we want. And so I started looking at the different challenges we face and kind of how this dichotomy falls into place. Take, for example, sex. So sad clowns are going to turn towards pornography, and assholes are going to turn towards promiscuity. Money. Sad clowns are more likely to pile up debt, while assholes will be more aggressive and risky with their finances. Jobs, sad clowns will become check signers, just showing up for payday and just kind of going through the motion, while assholes will become more serial quitters, jumping around from place to place. In our family, sad clowns will be absent in the shadows, while assholes will be more abusive. And then in leadership, that sad clowns will be tend to be laissez-faire, lazy, non-existent, while an asshole will try to be more authoritarian and totalitarian. So it's fascinating seeing this and starting to see these patterns that emerge in our lives as men. Because another thing that popped up was that we will constantly, as men, go through seasons of challenges. It's an inevitable process as men, this development process we go through. It's called the seasons of a man's life, where we go from these regular patterns of 3 to 5 years of challenges and change, and then 5 to 7 years of stability and building out. So, for example, when you're 17 and in college, you're trying to figure out who am I? What am I? How am I different than my parents and my family? And then at 22, you go out and you enter this stage called a novice. You're a beginner. You're picking up a job, trying it out. What do I like? You're trying out relationships. You're just trying things out. And then at 28 to 32, you go into your next season of challenges and change. And then you pick up the next stage is called becoming one's own man, where now you start building out this life structure, a career, a family, and relationships. And then what happens is the next stage is the classic midlife crisis, the third 500 we talk about, where suddenly you start to hold up that dream of what you thought life was going to be like when you were 18 years old and hold it against kind of the reality of what it is. And this pattern of figuring out what am I going to carry on, what am I going to get rid of, will constantly go through our lives. And so we're constantly, as men, going to be in these threatening, challenging situations. And so for me, that's where F3 finally comes into play. And honestly, I know probably for you guys, you already know this. We already know these details because we're so much down in the weeds of it. We experience it as part of the packs. But if men intentionally embrace physical challenges alongside other men, it helps to reinforce our masculinity and our confidence. And so it gives us this boldness. It helps to get rid of that sad clownism. I mean, hell, if I can tell a group of guys to do 25 burpees and they will, then what happens when I go home and start trying to lead my family, go to my job and start trying to influence the people around me? But at the same time, we also require that you keep an eye on the six to make sure we're F&G, aware of the F&Gs out there, because that helps to temper our assholeism as well. See, that balance and that blend between the two, where we want to push guys to go one step further and faster, but at the same time, we want to make sure that we are pulling up that F&G and that sad clown as well. And so in this personality test you guys took, I ran about 100 men through it. And one of the interesting elements for you stats guys, one of the ones that only statistical difference between a man who would run a marathon or a CrossFit and an F3 man was that F3 men rated higher in a kindness factor, which in that personality test was a feminine trait. And so because of our confidence as a man, we were actually able to show kindness towards one another, towards the F&G, towards the sad clown. We were able to show kindness towards the other men because we are no longer under threat in that sense. So all the way back to that psych study, had C-SPAN done a masculine feeling test before he went in to braid that mannequin's hair? Had he listed out some quarterbacks? Had he done push-ups, done something physical? Then he would have actually embraced that challenge as a learning opportunity. And so F3 gives us that space. F3 gives us an environment to challenge one another and to go through these processes alongside other men. There's a guy out there, Joseph Campbell, wrote a book where he basically looks at every great hero story out there throughout all time, that there's a very set pattern of a hero story, that a hero is a man that will leave his place of comfort, leave the comfortable city, community, family, place of origin he is, go out into face an ordeal, face a challenge, and overcome that challenge. And then a key piece to that is he heads back to that place of comfort, that place of stability, that place that he was first in, now as a hero, as a changed man. And so I realized, honestly, that's what we do every single morning of F3. We take a man and put him into a hero's quest, where he leaves the comfort of his warm home, of the fart sack, gets out of bed, drives over, is put through a physical challenge and ordeal alongside other men. And then after the COT, we break these men up and we send them back into their homes, into their schools, into their communities, ready and kind of fired up. So honestly, again, probably a little bit of a refresher. We kind of live and breathe this, that we know and experience this sort of stuff. And so then I'll challenge you, what are some action steps we could take away from this? First is to keep doing what you're doing. And this is honestly why I ran an ultra marathon last year. I had no business running an ultra marathon and training for it while trying to wrap up this doctorate, while pastoring a church, while trying to raise my four children. But the discipline to get up and to get after it, the discipline to push ourselves physically, then spills over into the rest of our lives. I believe as men, as all humans, we're built out as five different areas of our lives. There's a physical, relational, spiritual, emotional, and professional area of our life. And again, if we challenge ourselves physically, if we receive that affirmation and that confidence, then that begins to spill out into these other areas, into our relationships, into our jobs, into our emotional health. It begins to challenge us to see what it is we believe and who are we putting our faith into. And so again, first step is keep doing what we're doing. Push and challenge each other. And then the second one is in our workouts. I would encourage us that we need to do two things. As we cue a workout, we need to humble the asshole, but also make sure we lift up the sad clown. Because see, each man, each of us, when we show up, we struggle with a question deep inside of each one of us that we have. We wonder, am I good enough? And a sad clown needs to hear that promise that yes, yes, you are good enough. You do belong here. No matter how many burpees, no matter how much you do, you are part of the packs. And that's why we nickname you as soon as you post that first time. You are one of us. But at the same time, the asshole needs to hear the converse. He needs to realize that no, he's not good enough. That there's always somebody faster, stronger, smarter out there with him, challenging him and humbling him. And so then the third action step I would take away from this is that we should tap into that kindness factor of F3 men. So challenge you, what are you doing all this workout for? What are you getting stronger for? So you can run further, run faster? What good is it doing? What's the spillover? What's the impact? What's the dynamite that's coming out of this? I realized one morning back when the triplets were still young, we ran out of milk. And just for perspective, with triplet boys, we would go through 4 gallons of milk every 3 days. And so I went to the grocery store, and as I was carrying those 4 gallons of milk through the store up to the parking lot, back into the house, I kind of realized that's part of the reason I get out there each morning. Practically, so the physical strength, so the physical resiliency can carry me forward out into my life. And so, man, again, really wanted to kind of share these big ideas that I had stumbled into as y'all were part of this research for me, letting me see who we are as men and challenging us what makes F3 unique and how can we push forward this idea of raising up a sad clown and then also humbling out those assholes. So C-SPAN, that's what I had for us. I don't know if it generates any questions or what you got.
Dude, that was strong. That was a great presentation. So I'm gonna go back over your final 3 points there. Mm-hmm. Keep doing what we're doing. And I love this humble the asshole and then lift up the sad clown. So the sad clown is actually, so not only do you got to like kick the bat flippers in the knee and slow them down, you actually got to lift up the sad clown. And it's not just good enough to give him a knuckle bump and say, hey, you almost made it. We actually need to lift that guy up and say, you're one of us. You, you're part, because he needs to hear that more than the other guy needs to be humble, doesn't he?
Absolutely. So culturally, one of the things we miss is we don't have a male initiation rite. We don't know how to help men, help boys become men and identify as men. And so again, the COT and the nicknaming are all initiation rites into a manhood. And so helping a sad clown get out there and the F&G feeling part of that community is absolutely critical.
So can you, as far as the kindness factor that makes us different, so this is why You know, I know as I get older, I used to be a bat flipper, but like when I go to CrossFit, like I don't have the same feeling like when I go to F3, and it's really because it's this other factor, isn't it? That's why I don't fit in those other workouts anymore. Help me define what that kindness factor is, so I want to be able to repeat that to other people.
Yeah, no, this is what I'm playing out as well, because I think, again, the way F3 was built and started, where we're watching the six, you're keeping an eye out on another man. You're not just showing up for yourself to get the workout of the day and see where you show up on some bulletin board. Like, we're out there to be with the other men. And so there's something to that, that attracts salty men that are just aware of others. And so the stats guys who are on this call and muted, thankfully, will have a heyday with a pastor trying to run some statistics of p-values and correlation versus causation. But there's something unique, and an F3 man has a kindness, has an awareness of others around him. And that's what I would tap into.
Let me hit that one again. So that could explain why there's a bunch of us that go 6 days a week. And I know in Metro and a couple other places, they're going 7 days a week. But that's really what it is I need to – my insecurity needs to be fed that much more, that I need to be forced out of bed in the morning. And so that's why I'm probably more comfortable – if I got to go pick up the six, I never have a problem with it. If a guy wants to walk back, I don't have a problem with it. And if you can make fun of me, but I don't care, I'll beat you in a race. But it's because we are constantly being challenged every single morning that we're that much more secure in our manhood, right?
Because we've got a place and an environment that affirms us as men, we are then able to look outside ourselves. And so some of these stories the guys would share of, launching up Silver Bullet, launching up Fortitude, guys stopping mid-run to help a man standing on the edge of a bridge. The F3 workout, you're not just showing up for yourself. You're showing up for that man that's next to you. That accountability, again, plays into that kindness sort of aspect to it.
So the next thing I'm going to say is, I'm sorry that we only have a half hour this morning. So we are on top of our time, and so we're going to transition out of this call. But you got to promise me, as you continue this work, that you're going to get back on this call and give us an update on kind of. As far as I know, you're the only one who's done any research of what makes us different than CrossFit or the other workouts out there. You've already starting to figure out how to run the stats of what makes us different compared to everybody else. So you got to get back on as you continue your research or finish up your research.
I'm an ideas guy, and I love to see it played out. So challenge the men on the call. Tweet me, text me, email me. I would love to keep this conversation going and learn from you guys, because really I'm just capturing what you guys are living, and it's a privilege to be out there in the gloom with y'all each morning.
Awesome. Well, the way we normally finish these calls is we ask what we could pray specifically for you for. What's on your heart today?
Hi. So 2017 was an epic year for me. I mean, to wrap up an ultra and a doctorate in the same year, that I'm wanting to take a breath and just breathe in just the blessings God's given me. And so just be praying for my family. That we just settle in and kind of can celebrate a good, strong year last year, breathe deep here. The other prayer I've been having into 2017 is looking, or excuse me, 2018, is to be looking into the new year with joy. And so just asking God's joy in my life.
Amen, brother. That's well said. I'm going to go through the prayer requests that have been sent in, and I know we got a few more. We're just going to pray, start off our prayer for Sabrina, and we'll add her F3 Barricade. The next one is all the new fathers in F3. Bartman, I know Bartman got some grief last week. He wasn't on the call, and we're going to pray for that elbow that's recovering. Kemp's family on the passing of their son. Grease Trap's family, Blowout, and his family. Shorn, his family. Cheech's family, Dipstick's family, Big Wheel's family. The 144 day in Rock Thrill was on this call. The Joe Davis run was last week, really successful event. His family did a really great job with that. And great honor to Joe Davis, but also trying to break the stigma of addiction. Our friend of this call, Cadre Danny, and the work he's doing with Operation Enduring Warrior. Our brother Enterprise in Colombia, it sounds like that full-time job. I saw him tweeting out T-shirt sales and all kinds of stuff. So continue to pray for Enterprise and all the men of the mission. I know they had a man pass last week, so continue to pray for them. All our brothers doing this Girl Ruck, the Girl Rucks. I know the race is on to see who can have the highest attendance, and then all the men training for the heavy right now. We continue to pray for the control of this gesture that's controlling us when we should be controlling ourselves. I love this kind of sad clown, these three brackets of the sad clown, the high impact man, and the asshole. I think that is a great analogy, and it probably we all recognize all three of those buckets inside of us. So we'll continue to pray for that. The men at Walter Reed, we're going to continue to pray for them. F3 Olive and his family and the Operation Sweet Tooth and all the kids that were impacted. Mr. Clean and his family, Dan Johnson, an FCA pastor at Winthrop. We're going to continue to pray for him. Our brother Toga with his ACL and MCL surgery. I haven't got an update on that, but we'll continue to pray for him. Our brother Red Roof has put in the weather is just crazy, and we've have there's a whole bunch of families that are going to be impacted because anybody who's homeless this year is going to be, because places that are normally warm are freezing cold, and places that are normally cold are, I think Boston's in the 50s or 60s today. The weather doesn't make any sense. So all those families that are homeless, we'll continue to pray for them. And we have About Time and his family. So I'm going to go ahead and open it up. We got a minute or so if anybody has any other prayer requests they want to add. Okay, I'm going to take that as a no. Our brother Hotwire from Charleston is going to pray us out. Brother, you got it.
Thank you, and I'll just preface the prayer by saying it's totally timely that I volunteered to say this prayer today because many of the themes I heard today about having the strength and the challenges we all face in life were things I'm going through right now as I contemplate a career change after 25 years effective today. It was totally timely. So here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, please bless the men on this call, our F3 brothers, their families, and our local communities. As we head into 2018, please provide us all, Lord, with the vision and the wisdom to lead our brothers and be the best we can be this year. Help us succeed. Please bless all those who are suffering and facing challenges in life, challenges many of us share. Please help us work through and think about some of the themes we heard today about dealing with precarious masculinity, the seasons of a man's life in raising our family and our careers, etc., and help us when it's time to leave our place of comfort and stability. And please pray for all of our families and joy this coming year. We pray for these things in God's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, boys. Everybody have a great weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
Amen,
thank you. Bye, brothers.
Bye.